Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got a power hour coming up for you here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, and then David Noble coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. My goodness, man, I just saw this New York Times story just a few, about an hour or so ago, and 8-point lead. 8-point lead, according to the New York Times. I got to put the New York Times in bold letters here. The New York Times just released their own New York Times Siena College survey poll. Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy in a New York Times poll with an 8-point lead over liberal Senator John Tester. The New York Times is basically reporting, I'll have to go to my Twitter here to tell you what the exact, x.com/AaronFlint, to tell you what the exact line is in their story. Still haven't even pulled up my show prep for the day here yet because we got so much to talk about. But the New York Times is effectively saying that, it looks like the Republicans will take control of the United States Senate here after the November elections, is because this is the most important U.S. Senate race in the country right here in Montana. If Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy pulls this off, Republicans take back control of the Senate. But that's very good news. But of course, a poll doesn't mean squat unless you show up and you get your neighbors to show up and actually vote. With early voting right now, with absentee ballots coming out Friday, and then for those who still want to wait to show up in person. Hey, speaking of showing up in person, we got a great guy in the house right now because we got such a busy lineup for the rest of the morning. Dave Gault, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So you're the executive director for the Montana Petroleum Association, and you've filled that role before. You've also served as a state Department of Transportation director, but a number of different hats that you've worn over the years.
I have. But I'm here just a little while longer.
Yeah. Let's see. So the Supreme Court races. I just mentioned this good news about the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. Next to the Senate race, these Supreme Court elections are absolutely critical here in Montana everything we see going on right now.
I totally agree with you. I think they're, U.S. Senate, the governor, the Supreme Court, top races in the state.
Yeah, and we expect the governor's race, all those. I mean, governor's going to blow away his opponent in all likelihood, and I suspect all the other Republican statewide office holders to do well as well, or those seeking statewide office. There was one of these campaign commercials caught your eye here. One of these campaign commercials was criticizing, was it Judge Dan Wilson? Because he got support, just a little bit of support, financial support, from folks that work in the oil and gas industry here in Montana, apparently.
The ad went after the dark money of the Montana Oil and Gas PAC, which I run, and the Greater Gault family.
Oh, so they even attacked your family, the Gault family. Wow.
Yes, they did. And it was it was done by Montanans for Liberty and Justice, which is a trial lawyers PAC in Montana. And I'd like to talk about where the money comes from when you get them in.
Well, let's do that. I think it's also very symbolic if his opponent is, if their side is going to attack a specific Montana industry. I think it shows you where they stand in line with these radical environmentalists. So stand by.
Securing America.
Two Russian nationals and a third individual with dual Russian and German citizenship are now facing federal charges of smuggling, wire fraud, money laundering, and export control violations after conducting what the feds call a scheme to try and get their hands on U.S. microelectronics and then send them to a Russian company which routinely sends electronic components to manufacturers who provide weapons and other equipment to the Russian military. The two Russians remain at large, while the third suspect was taken into custody earlier this year. Authorities say the three purposely concealed the true nature of their business, and in doing so, put U.S. national security at risk. The technology the defendants stole include the types of electronic components which have been recovered in Russian military hardware on the battlefield in Ukraine, including Russian-guided missiles, drones, and electronic warfare and communications devices. Kim Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some scattered clouds around the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 60s in Bozeman, about 72 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay partly cloudy with a low temperature reading from the lower to middle 40s, and then the outlook for Friday does call for mainly sunny skies with highs from around 70 for most spots. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, we better keep the phone lines open for Thursday's Montana Talks because you want to get a chance to weigh in. You want to get a chance to be heard all across Montana. We had a couple of big guests on Wednesday's show. Then Friday, we're going to be live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls. So we'll try to keep the phone lines open for you on Thursday's show, barring some other big major developments. Montana Talks statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m., the show where you get to talk and be heard all across the great state of Montana.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So what's very symbolic about this to me is this proves that this Judge Catherine Bitigeri is going to be in line, in lockstep with the radical environmentalists, that if she gets elected to the Montana Supreme Court, she would be a blank check for the radical environmental groups that want to shut down Montana mining, that want to shut down Montana energy, and so much more. Contrast that with Judge Dan Wilson out of the Flathead, who stood up for freedom, who stood up for our Constitution, especially when the former Democrat governor was trying to shut down businesses here in Montana. Anyway, Dave Galt is interim executive director for the Montana Petroleum Association. So apparently Bitigeri's backers are attacking Judge Dan Wilson because he got some campaign contributions from folks that serve in the oil and gas industry. To me, when they attack that, when they attack a specific industry, that's because they know she's going to side against that specific Montana industry.
Well, that's the implication, correct, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the ad was actually funded by the Montana trial lawyers, you know, and they certainly put a lot of money. They've got $550,000 at their disposal, and the Montana Oil and Gas PAC, which was critiqued, has maybe $8,000 in there. So
how much was the campaign contribution that Bitigeri's supporters are attacking here?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, I'm just looking up the Montanans for Liberty and Justice and in the ads that are going on digital right now, sponsored by them, and where their money comes from. That's what I've been looking at.
Yeah, very interesting. Whereas, so when you look at the amount of money that the trial lawyers are throwing into this race to back the far-left activist candidates like Bitigeri and Lynch, pales in comparison to any of the contributions going out there in support of, you know, the fair judicial candidates like Corey Swanson and Dan Wilson, both of the sons of Montana that a lot of our listeners are supporting.
Exactly. And, you know, from the Montana Oil and Gas PAC, we take contributions from our members, and we just make direct contributions to the campaigns. I don't run individual, independent, advertising like other PACs do. I just don't do that. I just let the candidates figure out where they want to spend their money the most.
Yeah. The other thing that stood out in this ad, and I watched it during the break because I hadn't seen the commercial yet myself. The other thing that stood out is they basically attack your family and criticize your family. They're trying to make some sort of some sort of random connection, that because one member of the Galt family from 50 years ago said something about stream access, well, that and just because members of the Galt family, which is a great Montana family, support apparently Judge Dan Wilson here, that, well, that means Judge Dan Wilson's going to be against stream access. What? I mean, these people are nuts.
That's true. And interestingly enough, there was only two people with the last name Galt that have donated to Judge Dan Wilson, and I'm one of them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, just to see all the virtue signaling from the Senate race campaign commercials down to Supreme Court commercials here in Montana. They bash Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy for, you know, starting a ranch. After he served our country overseas and served in the military. Well, a lot of these ranches here in Montana were started by, you know, grandpa after he got home from the war. And that's when the family, the multi-generational family ranch started, right? But yet then they also will bash great Montana ranch families. I mean, the Galt's very well-known Montana ranch family. And boy, the Democrats in the far left will love to just take cheap shots at a ranch family like the Galt's. And so it doesn't matter whether you're a Navy SEAL who just got home from Afghanistan and getting into the ranching business, or a longtime multi-generational ranch family, they're going to take cheap shots at you no matter what.
That's true. And, you know, the interesting thing is when you follow the money on this trial lawyer ad, it comes from what they call the Montana Values Pack. And the Montana Values Pack took a mere $750,000 from Michael Bloomberg from where? New York City.
New York City.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
Montana Values.
So Bittigieri is getting money from Bloomberg in New York, or her third party packs.
You know,
yeah.
It just flows.
Yeah.
Like it does. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, once again, it shows if these climate extremists, if these environmental extremists are the ones that are funding these massive third-party campaign ads in support of Bittigieri and in opposition to Judge Dan Wilson, that tells you the guy you need to support here is Judge Dan Wilson out of the Flathead Valley, who's got some strong Montana roots as well in eastern Montana.
Yeah, I listened to him last night at the Montana Farm Bureau's forum, and, you know, Corey Swanson was there, and Bittigieri was there, and Wilson was there, and he is impressive, and he talks about just being there to look at the law and apply the law as fairly as possible.
He's even keeled. Yeah, great candidate all around. Oil and gas. What's going on the oil and gas front here in Montana? I mean, the Biden-Harris tester regime has done everything they can in the last 3.5 years to really wage this war on American energy.
They've done a lot of things just in the last year, and they were hasty in developing a set of rules, actually multiple sets of rules from BLM and EPA. And when those rules go into full effect over the course of the next 18 months to 3 years, I would envision most of the small well owners, which is most of the industry in the state of Montana, won't be in business anymore.
They'll be totally shut down.
I don't see how they can avoid that.
So, like, the smaller operators, like around Shelby, Montana, for example, elsewhere across the High Line, there's no way they'll be able to stay in business if the current regime's regulations move forward.
I've been to several meetings. I've been to several meetings for them, and there's a lot of nerves there. There's a lot of concern there, and there's a lot of fear. And
tell you what, Dave Galt, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yep.
All right, hold that thought, because I want to go back to that here after the Farm and Ranch Report here in just a few minutes.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Donald Trump is counterpunching again after Bob Woodward's new book accused him of, at the height of the pandemic, sending Vladimir Putin COVID testing machines denied by Trump but confirmed by the Kremlin. The camp called Woodward a truly demented and deranged man, also a total sleazebag who has lost it mentally, slow, lethargic, incompetent, and a boring person. And after Howard Stern conducted a very friendly interview with Kamala Harris, Trump said beta male Howard Stern made a fool of himself on his low-rated radio show, where he interviewed lion Kamala Harris and hit her with so many softball questions that even she was embarrassed. As for Fox News, his campaign manager said that why was Fox carrying the briefings on the powerful monster storm hurricane heading for Florida when this was just propaganda disguised as a news conference? It's also a public service. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some scattered clouds around the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 60s in Bozeman, about 72 in the Billings area. For tonight, sky stay partly cloudy with a low temperature reading from the lower to middle 40s, and then the outlook for Friday. Does call for mainly sunny skies with highs from around 70 for most spots. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Oh, yeah, they claim to be the fact checkers, but they can't even get their facts straight. Did you guys see this phony fact check on one of the TV stations? They claim that the race-based farm loan forgiveness programs never happened. There was no discrimination against white farmers. What a bunch of BS. We got the facts for you. Check out the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, check out the podcast for the Mountain States Legal Foundation interview. Very interesting information. The real fact check.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, is now accepting applications for several important programs for farmers and ranchers. And Montana NRCS Assistant State Conservationist Kelly Barkell says there's never been a better time to get signed up for these programs than right now.
Historically, the amounts of funding are off the charts for all states across the country with the extra Inflation Reduction Act funding. And so what we want folks to know is that, you know, we accept applications year-round, but what we do, we take applications year round, but then we'll announce a batching date, and then all applications received by that date would be eligible for first round funding.
Now, there are several dates to be aware of for the current funding cycle of these programs, including October 25th for the popular EQIP program and December 27th. For the Conservation Stewardship Program Classic. For more information, you can contact your local USDA Service Center or visit nrcs.usda.gov online. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Attention pulse and oilseed crop producers.
Applying Sonalin 10G this fall can be an excellent option for control of broadleaf and grassy weeds in next year's crops. A fall application of Sonalin 10G allows great flexibility of planting options for lentils and garbanzo beans to label oiled seed crops, including camelina. Rotating to a Group 3 herbicide allows for extended residual weed control, including glyphosate, sulfonylurea resistant biotypes. Contact your local distributor to schedule your fall application of Sonalin 10G.
Always reading. Follow label directions from Gowan Company.
Ready for a real PRF partner? At Ag Risk Advisors, this isn't our first rodeo. We are one of the most experienced in pasture rangeland forage. Honesty, commitment, trust. Many companies use these words. At Ag Risk Advisors, we earn them.
The deadline to enroll in pasture rangeland forage insurance is December 1st. Visit prfadvisors.com to enroll.
Well, as the sugar beet harvest gets into full swing across our region, Dr. Rob Johansson of the American Sugar Alliance says that waiting until next year would be a huge mistake regarding the next farm bill. He says 2 years' worth of hearings have documented a brewing financial crisis caused by falling commodity prices, high input costs, and tightening farm credit. It's time for Congress to act. Johansson says that the level of farm assistance has fallen to its lowest level relative to farm income since 1981, and it's clear that the current suite of farm programs is fraying at the edges. And finally this morning, this week, the USDA announced a series of actions in support of a fair and competitive agricultural market, and the National Farmers Union commended USDA for continuing to promote competition across agricultural markets. In fact, NFU President Rob LaRue said that the new framework for improving research access to seed germplasm is a significant step forward. The findings of USDA's interim report, he says, on competition in the meat retail industry further illustrates the barriers to a fair market and a resilient food system, and efforts to enhance price discovery in cattle markets and enforce the Packers and Stockyards Act, he says, reflect a deep understanding of the challenges facing America's cattle producers. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, Dave Gault here, interim executive director for the Montana Petroleum Association. He's held that post in the past, a former Department of Transportation director and much more. But, man, you were saying that if these regulations that move forward that are under the current, you know, Biden-Harris Tester regime, it'll wipe out all these smaller independent operators pretty much across the High Line and other parts of Montana.
It certainly has that potential. And we're working with what's called the Lance Energy Chair at Montana Tech and trying to mitigate some of this. You know, the Lance Energy Chair was funded by Mr. Ryan Lance at ConocoPhillips.
Oh, yeah.
Montana young man and the Montana Tech grad, and it's a remarkable program that they're starting over there, and we're excited to work with them about it.
I think even a lot of conservatives that are in the know on issues don't realize just how much anti-American energy regulations and policies have been coming out of this Biden-Harris White House, with John Tester either outright supporting it or not standing up to block it as well. And so I mean, you look, and hey, Travis, let's skip the Fox News update if you don't mind, so we can have an extra minute or so here with Dave Gault. But, you know, you look at, you know, the Trump administration greenlit the Keystone Pipeline. Biden killed the Keystone Pipeline. Trump rolled back the Obama so-called Clean Power Plan. Biden puts it back in as a Clean Power Plan 2.0 to kill American energy. But what's interesting, it's not just the fact that the Biden-Harris wanted to ban new drilling, new leases on federal lands, but they've tried to leverage the SEC and other means to even try to divest private sector investment in oil and gas, because that's what they couldn't stop during the Obama years. They couldn't stop rocking the Bakken because it was on private land. So the Biden-Harris regime has tried to figure out how to leverage SEC and other mechanisms to try to attack private sector investment for natural oil and gas.
That's real interesting. I'll have to study that more because I haven't waded into that. I've been... You know, when you get a 1,600-page rule, you know, from the BLM or from the EPA, that takes a lot of time to review alone, you know, and there's significant impact, significant. Yeah.
What are the latest rig counts and things looking like that? I saw some numbers here. Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana. They've been doing a Prosperity as Possible tour here. When it comes to Montana energy production, they cited MPA, 45,000-plus total oil wells drilled, 5,000-plus active oil wells today. Montana ranks 12th in oil production and 20th in natural gas production nationally, but we're also the 14th largest consumer of energy per capita, given our, you know, agriculture and so much more.
That's true, and I don't know the numbers as well as they do, but they sound about right. And if there's 5,000 wells in Montana, let's just say that, I'd probably say that 80% of those are called marginal wells or stripper wells. So they produce very little gas per well and very little oil per well. Those are the ones that are at risk, real risk. Right,
but
now,
one of the things that's also, you know, obviously prices went crazy because of the Biden-Harris regime's anti-American energy policies. And, you know, they didn't want to, you know, stop Venezuela or Iran or Russia from drilling, but they came up with ways to try to block Americans from drilling. With the wells that were already tapped, with the holes that were already punched into the ground, with high prices, obviously production numbers will ramp up. But the key is, how do we get more rigs out in the field? How do we get more production up and running, not just tap into the existing wells, right?
Well, that's true. And, you know, I mean, it's a resource that depletes over time. And they've been, you know, saying that we're going to run out for 50 years, and we haven't. But, you know, some of these little wells, if you've got a well that you drilled a long time ago that's producing just a minor amount of gas, but you can keep it open, and all of a sudden you have to comply with the new BLM bonding rules, and they're retroactive, you can't afford to do that. You just can't afford to do that, so you'll plug and abandon those wells.
And that could mean, that's going to mean massive revenue issues here in the state of Montana, economic impacts. We've got, you know, the Signal Peak coal mine. They're fighting for survival right now. Colstrip is fighting for survival right now. And if we lose Colstrip, we lose the mine in Butte as well. We really see this anti-American energy, anti-American mining push coming from the regime in Washington. And by regime, yes, John Tester is every bit a part of this regime, the Kamala Harris, Joe Biden regime as well. But we got to go back to the Supreme Court race again and remind people, you know, if Bittigieri's, you know, big money backers are attacking Judge Dan Wilson because he got support from, you know, the folks in the Montana oil and gas business, well, that's yet another reminder and proof that she will be a radical environmental leftist on the Montana Supreme Court.
Well, I think she had the court case on it was filed against the Black Butte copper mine in White Sulphur Springs by
Todd
Unlimited, and you know, I ran the initiative campaign against I-186 for the mining industry to defend the mining industry against the radical Trout Unlimited group in 2018. 55% of the Montana voters voted to support mining in Montana in 2018. Her ruling would have shut down the Black Butte copper mine, but it was overturned by our current Montana Supreme Court on a 5-2 vote. That's a significant issue.
She's even to the left of the current left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court.
That's how I read that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's people in Butte, America, listening to this right now, because I know there's a lot of people in Butte. They've always voted one way. They've, you know, always voted Democrat, or they'll vote for these left-wing Supreme Court justices. This judge significantly delayed the copper mine in Butte. You think she's going to have, you know, a copper mine in Butte's back if she's on the Montana Supreme Court?
Well,
or will it be a target on your back? We've got that. That is what we know from her track record already.
And that's what these groups do that call themselves Montana Values and things like that, is file lawsuits against oil and gas mining. We got to have mining. We want electric cars, but we don't want to mine the material for them. We want to buy that from who, you know?
Our buddy Ken in Great Falls, who says he finally got his electric vehicle. It's like, well, okay, well, most of the stuff that's in there is coming from China because the Biden-Harris-Tester regime won't allow American mining. In fact, and then, oh, by the way, the Green New Deal backed by John Tester and Kamala and Biden is the reason we just lost 700 jobs at this Stillwater mine here. And what is John Tester doing for those miners?
Yeah.
Squat, from what I've been hearing. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Dave Galt, thanks for dropping in here in the early morning hours.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. I like getting up early.
All right. Well, good to see you. We got another great guest joining us right after this. Stand by. You're not going to want to miss this one. We're going to talk about the New York Times polling in the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. Very good news. That and much more right after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg with high winds in the forecast. The next couple of days, Ravalli County authorities are worried two lingering fires could flare up, so they're issuing some rare October evacuation warnings. It affects residents living along the Skalkahoe Highway east of Hamilton, which are close to the railroad and daily fires. Those blazes were started by lightning in July, burning over 10,000 acres, but only half contained. Bozeman leaders take a different approach to the problem of urban camping by the homeless, making it illegal in the right-of-way, but also using permits. Derek Wolf catches us up on the story.
For the last few years, Bozeman has been dealing with an urban camping situation. Homeless folks setting up in campers and cars along the public streets in town. Recently, the Bozeman City Commission passed an ordinance dealing with the urban campers, and the ordinance states the following. It proposes establishing misdemeanor penalties for violations of the general camping prohibition and for violating a permit, end quote. The ordinance also goes on to say that the permits will be good for 30 days and renewals will be determined on a case-by-case basis. In Bozeman, I'm Derek Wolf, Montana State News Network.
Meanwhile, a new group is organizing to tackle concerns of public spaces and homeless camping in Missoula. David Morris says No Camp Missoula, which formed in late summer, has now collected hundreds of names for a petition asking city leaders to reconsider new rules.
Well, the environmental impact is huge. With the parks, you know, it's children's safety and senior safety. And, you know, in our neighborhood, we have some group homes and concerned about some of those residents. You know, everybody uses the parks, and by allowing camping on them, it degrades the experience for the entire community.
Moore says the group would like the city to reconsider the rules that included buffer zones and limits on hours for park camping in the city of Missoula. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
This song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here, News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wow, if you guys have not seen these numbers yet from the New York Times, I saw this earlier this morning, sent out a tweet at about 5:13 a.m. Go to x.com/AaronFlint. You can see the numbers and you can see the story here. Wow, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy with an 8-point lead over Liberal Senator John Tester, and this is in a New York Times poll. The New York Times did the survey. The New York Times reporting this, quote, control of the Senate appears likely to flip from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party this fall as one of the nation's most endangered Democrats. Senator John Tester of Montana trails his Republican challenger in his bid for re-election, according to a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College. We've got Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines and the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee on the phone lines with us right now. Senator, that's a nice story to read with your morning coffee, huh?
Well, it's not too bad. Think about today's the day that absentee ballots will be mailed out to Montanans. So it's a good day to start the day with Tim Sheehy in a strong position. But, you know, it's great when the New York Times says that Tim's up by 8 points, 52-44. That's a nice validation. And it also is showing that these terrible, overwhelming number of attack ads from the far left, Chuck Schumer and his allies, just aren't working. Montanans are seeing through it. God bless Montanans who have the horse sense and common sense to see through this nonsense and are going to send Tim Sheehy back to the United States Senate. But I tell you, what's at stake here, Aaron, is this is bigger than Montana. This is the nation because assuming Tim Sheehy wins this election 26 days from today, that shifts control, the power of the United States Senate from Chuck Schumer's hands into the hands of the Republicans. This has profound implications for the future of the United States Supreme Court, the Ninth Circuit Court, federal district judges, lifetime appointments in the judiciary, not to mention the tax cuts from President Trump. We've got to give President Trump a Senate that will work with them. And just we got to keep reminding Montanans that John Tester voted to impeach President Trump twice. John Tester voted against Trump's tax cuts. John Tester voted against every one of President Trump's three important Supreme Court nominees, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. These are votes you take that will affect our grandchildren, and that is why Montanans see through it, and that's why Montanans know that on November 5th, we are going to change control of the United States Senate by electing Tim Sheehy for United States Senate.
I think I saw that there's a couple of other Senate races elsewhere in the country that are increasingly moving in the Republican direction as well. You know, I was thinking about it. As Montana's U.S. Senator, you've got a number of jobs to do back in Washington, right? But as the chairman of the NRSC, you've got one job, win back the majority. If Montana delivers that, that's your one job. But we got to expand, work on expanding the majority as well. What's the rest of the national scene looking like?
Well, very true, because as you know, in election cycles for the Senate, a third of the Senate is up every 2 years. In some years, it's more favorable for Republicans. Other years, we're playing more defense. Future cycles right now are disadvantageous for us. It'll be tougher. The 26th cycle is a tougher cycle. We're playing a lot more defense. And that's why we need to try to win some additional seats beyond just Tim Sheehy to make sure we've got an enduring majority going forward. So we've got great competitive races right now in Ohio. Bernie Moreno, just as a Washington Post poll out this morning, that shows that race essentially tied. Trump is going to win Ohio by 8 to 10 points. We like our odds right now in Ohio. That's a very important race. Ohio is a lot like what's happened here in Montana. It's just gotten a lot redder over the years. They've rejected the far-left woke agenda of the progressives, and they are voting now Republican. And then you've got races in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Every one of those races, as of this morning, are all margin of error races. These are pickup seat opportunities with Dave McCormick, a Republican, a West Point graduate, 82nd Airborne in Pennsylvania. In Michigan, we've got Mike Rogers, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee when he was a Republican congressman. And then you've got in Wisconsin, a business guy, Eric Hovde. So these races are really tight. Then come out to the Sun Belt, Nevada and Arizona. We've got Kerry Lake in Arizona. We've got Sam Brown, another West Point graduate, blown up by the Taliban, newly lost his life in Afghanistan. Those are both margin of error races as we wake up here this morning. So it looks like September might have been the Democrats' month with the momentum that Kamala Harris had. It looks like October now is shifting back towards Republicans as the shine of Kamala Harris's honeymoon has worn off. I think people are waking up now about what a disaster Kamala Harris would be, and consequently it's helping our Senate ballot numbers as well across these battleground states.
The sugar high is wearing off, and people are realizing they need some meat on the plate instead, some good Montana beef on the plate instead here. you referenced just these fake, phony attack ads against Tim Sheehy. And, it's been so sad to see how biased the political coverage has been, especially on the TV stations. You know as well as I do, there's so many great folks that work for these TV stations, fellow broadcasters across the state. But the political coverage has been atrocious, just been so biased. I saw one of these phony fact checks where they were saying, that commercial that talks about how, you know, John Tester and the Democrats voted to discriminate against white farmers, that never happened. It's like, yes, it did. In fact, Senator, we talked with you back in 2021 while they were voting to discriminate against white farmers.
Well, that is 100% true. That vote actually happened. This was a program that the Democrats put together, the woke agenda of the Biden administration, Chuck Schumer and Pelosi. It was called the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program. And it was designed to, and I quote, to address generations of racial injustice in American farm policy. John Tester voted for that program. That is a fact. Now, there was so much outrage, against that. We eventually did change it. But I'll tell you, he voted for it when I voted against it. And this is what I've been telling reporters. We had an NBC national crew here in Montana yesterday. And I said, look, this race for the United States Senate with Sheehy versus Tester, it's not a personal issue for me. John Tester and I get along as two Montana guys. We do. We're friends. But we vote very, very differently. If you look at my voting record and John Tester's voting record, it's as if we represent two different states. President Trump is going to win Montana by about 20 points. Don't you think it's only smart we send a senator back to Washington that's more aligned with where Montanans are than someone who is going to vote for Kamala Harris? John Tester is weaving and bobbing about, are you going to vote for Kamala Harris or not? Of course he's going to vote for it. John Tester recruited Kamala Harris to run for the U.S. Senate in 2016. I think people forget about that. He recruited her out of California to run for the U.S. Senate when he was chairman of the senatorial committee, doing the job I'm doing for the Republicans. And so I think Montana's are seeing through that. It's just not a personal issue. I wish these personal attack ads against Sheehy would stop. It's about how you're going to vote, what values you bring back to Washington. Tim Sheehy believes in the values I think where Montana is, that, you know, biological men should not be able to compete in women's sports. That is a core woke problem here the left has, that Montana say that's nonsense, not to mention the issues of inflation, of the border, of national security, Israel, Iran. These are major, major issues, and that's why I'm confident Montanans are going to vote for Tim Sheehy. And by the way, Aaron, I think it's important, absentee ballots mail out today. We've got to encourage all of our listeners, just get your ballots turned in early. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because on election day, we're going to have a massive turnout. And I don't want to have, you know, some of our folks, maybe a disabled veteran or some of our senior citizens who can't stand in line as long. Let's yield to them by voting early and allow them who may want to show up and vote in person. I think that's out of kindness and compassion to our neighbors. Let's get our ballots turned in early and put this race away.
And President Trump is encouraging the same thing. It's so important. It also frees up, party resources to be able to focus on getting out the vote and getting out support from other voters. So if you get your job done early, you can help, and then it helps them get the job done to get other folks to turn up as well.
I'll just tell you something. The Dane family, my wife and I, and our kids who are of voting age, we'll get our ballots turned out right away. I like to hand deliver mine down to the courthouse. I don't mind mailing it either, but I think the sooner we get our ballots turned in, and by the way, one other thing, we need to vote against every one of these initiatives. I think we need to make sure our listeners understand, vote against every one of these initiatives that are on the ballot. I'll tell you, this is a threat that CI-126, this open primary nonsense, that is the left trying to divide Republicans. It's their only hope they have. Once we sweep Tester out of office, the only hope they have is dividing Republican votes with some of these initiatives. That's where we've got to vote them all down.
Yeah, I agree. Governor Greg Gianforte said the same thing when it comes to these constitutional initiatives on the ballot. Vote against every single one of them. We've got to hit a hard break. Senator Daines, if you can, stick around. I want to talk about this amicus brief you filed to go after a Biden-Harris emissions rule. Stand by if you can.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
So if you dare to tell the truth about the worst hurricane response in history and how cold and callous and how absolutely checked out Harris and Biden have been, especially when it comes to North Carolina and Georgia and these states impacted by Hurricane Helene, it's now almost 2 weeks. And if you dare talk about it, now they're trying to attack you and accuse you of being heartless. Their own website pushes diversity, equity, and inclusion over emergency response, and they divert, they raid the funds from FEMA, and then they tell us that they're running out of money, and then all of a sudden they're saying, we found the money. Somehow you're the bad guy for pointing out their response sucked and that they've been missing in action for 2 weeks.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, remember the old way of shopping for custom window treatments, waiting around all day just to get an overpriced quote from some pushy commission salesperson? Well, thankfully, those days are over thanks to Blinds.com, because they invented a better way. Now, with completely virtual consultations, free samples sent right to your door, you will never have to deal with a pushy commission salesperson in your home ever again. Now, from premium woven wood to motorized shades and so much more, you can get unlimited custom window treatments installed in your house for one low cost, whether it's one window or 100. And at Blinds.com, there's never any hidden fee, no showroom markups. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And ordering online, really simple. They have their 100% satisfaction guarantee. And that means if you're not happy with the style, the color, the fit, guess what? They're going to make it work until you are happy. Shop at Blinds.com right now. Save 40% off site-wide. 40% off when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The national economy has been through one of the most violent, rapid, down-up cycles in economic growth in our modern history. That cycle is largely over. Growth will be more moderate and more stable going forward. But what would that tumultuous experience leave behind? Higher interest rates, for one thing. Higher rates, that is. Actually, today's rates are not high by historical standards, but certainly higher than the extremely low rates that prevailed before COVID. And we have higher inflation. It's come down to just above 3%, which is a lot better than the 6+% of a year ago. Maybe the Federal Reserve will get it lower. Some changes have not stuck. The surge in e-commerce, for instance, that peaked at 60% of all retail sales in the teeth of the pandemic, has settled back down to its pre-COVID trend. But working from home is here to stay, apparently. After peaking at 60% at one point, the stunning truth is that 28% of all days worked in the national economy are remote. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by...
Work with your budget as well. Check out Brett's RV and Marine, Billings and Missoula.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
Thank you.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. I just realized this. I saw a tweet from E. Montana at Chaos MT on X. Not only is Tim Sheehy up 8 points in this New York Times poll, but Governor Greg Gianforte is up by 22 points over old Fussy Bussy, the gun-grabbing, gun-control candidate the Dems put up as their governor candidate. I just got a kick out of that one there as well. All right, Senator Steve Daines, thanks for sticking around for just a few more minutes here. I got a headline here. Daines joins amicus brief to overturn unlawful Biden-Harris emissions rule. That's some news out this week. Plus, what's the latest on your efforts to help save the jobs at the Bull Mountain Mine south of Roundup, Montana?
Right. Well, here's a couple more examples of the fight we have back in Washington, why I need to have Tim Sheehy there as my battle buddy there fighting the left. But here's yet another crazy rule that came from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden that required a state department of transportation to measure greenhouse gas emissions on state highways. Here's another way of the executive branch overreaching, attacking our Montana way of life. This is really just a bunch of climate alarmism. It's unsustainable. Think about some of these rural Montana communities out there trying to measure greenhouse gas emissions along the highway. So I joined my colleagues in the House and Senate, Republicans, to file this brief challenging the rule. And this is why we can't have another 4 years of Kamala Harris's radical climate agenda. This is why we need to get President Trump, along with Tim Sheehy, serving us back in Washington. Back on the Crow Revenue Act, here's another one. This is when we're fighting on behalf of the Crow tribe and for those miners, certainly there at the Bull Mountain Mine near Roundup. There's about hundreds of jobs at risk right now at that Bull Mountain Mine. We're in this position because the Biden-Harris administration has refused to complete the Bull Mountains Mine permit. That's why they're slow-rolling it. They're anti-coal. They're anti-Made America Energy. If this administration would just completed the permits in July, like they're supposed to, we wouldn't be having this fight. So they're slow-rolling it, Aaron, because they want to shut down baseload power, shut down coal, shut down oil, shut down natural gas. And this is one of the fundamental fights we've got in this country and why this election in 26 days is so important.
Well, and Parker Phipps, the CEO of Signal Peak Energy in the mine there in Roundup, at that Montana coal rally that the mayor of Roundup put on a couple Fridays ago, he made the point that had it not been for Governor Greg Gianforte filing some amendments, that the mine would have already shut down. So that it's the importance of having strong leadership, not just in Washington, but in Helena as well.
Aaron, I could not agree more. I will tell you, one of the joys in my job I have back in Washington is knowing I've got Greg Gianforte on speed dial. You know, Greg and I have been friends for 25 years. We raised our kids together. We've been business partners. I have a software business with Greg all that time. We've been in the foxholes together over many, many years, whether it's in business or now serving the people of Montana. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to see that poll you just mentioned there where Greg's going to be reelected. I think by a wide margin here in November, as he should be, because we need to be hitting on all cylinders right now, both in the Montana leadership as well as we have back in Washington D.C. to fight back against these extreme far lefties that are trying to destroy this country.
Also, the reason we need the Sons of Montana on the Montana Supreme Court, this left-wing Judge Bidegary, slow-rolled, tried to block the copper mine in White Sulphur Springs. She's in the back pocket of the radical environmentalist, that's for sure. Senator Steve Daines, thanks for your time this morning. Great to chat with you, especially after that New York Times poll just came out.
All right, we got to keep fighting. I'll tell you, polls don't mean anything. What matters the most is how you vote. Let's make sure we get our folks out and cast those ballots. Let's get it done in November.
GOTV, get out the vote. Turn the TV off and get out the vote. All right, Senator, thanks for your time.
Democracy 24.
Former President Trump tells Fox News if he wins the election, he will immediately end two controversial Biden administration programs that have allowed 1.3 million migrants to come into the U.S. in less than 2 years. The CBP One cell phone app and the CHNV migrant flights parole program. Trump says on top of ending those programs, he would also revoke parole for every migrant who already came into the U.S. via the programs. And his message to those migrants is, quote, get ready to leave. Between 70,000 to 80,000 migrants are allowed into the U.S. every month as part of those Biden programs, which Republicans call illegal. Fox News reached out to Kamala Harris's campaign to ask if she would keep the Biden parole programs if elected, but the campaign did not answer the question, instead providing a statement about her experience as a prosecutor and her support for the bipartisan border deal. Bill Malugin, Fox News.